G'dvach Shavua Tov. This is Rabbi Eitan Tokayer from Brooklyn, New York. Tonight's shiur is sponsored Le'iloi Nishmas Chaya Rochel Bas David Tzvi. And in the chus of our learning together, Neshama should indeed have a great aliyah. There are two words in the sedra from today that have produced a lot of controversy. It seems simple enough, but when Klal Yisrael see for the first time the man, Torah tells us, Vayiru b'nei Yisrael, they see it, Vayomer Yishal Achiv, man hu. And they say to one another, man hu. Ki lo yadu mahu, because they didn't know what it was. Now this two words, man hu, has perplexed Chazal and the Mefarshim over the centuries. Indeed, over the millennia. So what does it mean, man hu? Quite famously, Unkelus tells us, man hu really means mahu. What is it? It is a translation of the Lashon HaKodesh Ma. Instead of Ma, we say Man. However, Man is not Hebrew. It's not Lashon HaKodesh. Maybe it's ancient Egyptian, maybe it's Persian, maybe it's Aramaic, maybe whatever it is. But it's not Lashon HaKodesh. And if Targum Onkelos is indeed correct when he says that Man Hu means what is it, right? Manahu. So why is it that the Torah is preserving the dialogue of Klal Yisrael in the original, non-Lashon HaKodesh? The Torah is written in Lashon HaKodesh. For example, when Paro and Moshe Rabbeinu have a dialogue, I'm rather confident that Paro didn't speak Lashon HaKodesh. And yet, that dialogue, or perhaps he did, but the dialogue most likely was conducted in ancient Egyptian. And therefore, the Torah does not record the dialogue in ancient Egyptian, but rather in Lashon HaKodesh. Here, however, if Onkelos is correct, the Torah preserves the original language, or at least the non-Lashon HaKodesh language. And the question is, why is that the case? Others, however, suggest that the word man comes from the Lashon of mazon. It means food. It means food. It's a somewhat of a maybe a corruption or an evolution of the word. But man means mazon. So really, Klal Yisrael are basically saying, this is food. And at least according to one of the Mefarshim, cited by Rav Kasher in his Torah Shlema, that when Klal Yisrael saw this food in the desert, they said, this is food. They were basically saying, min aragilhu. This food, this is how it happens in the desert. In other words, they saw an extraordinary miracle, a blessing of the Ribon Shalom, and they thought it was Maisim Shebechol Yom. They thought this is just the way it happens in the desert. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to turn around and say, you're looking at a miracle and you don't even see it. Vayomer Moshe Aleihem, Hu Halechem Asher Nasan Hashem Malachem Lachwa. No, this is not just Maisim Bechol Yom and how it happens in the desert. No, this is a tremendous miracle. And of course, this dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael is indeed the dialogue that we have with ourselves all the time, or at least that we should have with ourselves, when we see miracles all over the place, and they're standing right in front of our eyes, and yet we fail to be able to perceive them, because we perceive them as Ma'aseh B'chol Yom. This is just how it's supposed to be. There's a certain sense of expectation, a certain sense even of entitlement, that this is the way life is supposed to be. And yet, every breathing moment, as we well know, is indeed a great miracle. Every time a child is born, it's a miracle. Every time we're able to open our eyes and perceive the sense of sight, perceive with our noses the sense of smell, to be able to hear, to be able to speak, to be able to utter, to be able to formulate language and execute that. How many things have to happen in one's physiology just for those simple things, Ma'aseh B'chol Yom, to happen? And Klal Yisrael walked into the Midbar, and they basically said, Min Haragil, this is just the way it's supposed to be. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu turns around and says, No, this is not the way it's supposed to be. Others suggest, and indeed this is captured in Rashi, that Manhu does not mean food, it does not mean what, but rather Manhu comes from the word Va'yiman, which means that he prepared. We remember in Sefer Yonah that Hashem prepared the dog, the fish, that was to swallow Yonah, Vayiman. Rashi cites another pasuk from Daniel, Vayiman lahem amelech, that the king prepared food for them. So Vayiman, says Rashi, is hachanas mazon. It is the preparation of food. So how does the pasuk read? Vayiru b'nei Yisrael v'yomri shalachayv manhu. They looked at this and they know, what's going on here? Not what is this. They wanted to know very specifically how to prepare the food. Man hachanas mazon hu. How to prepare the food. And here, there's a fascinating medrash cited by Rabbi Sirotskin in his Oznaim LaTorah, as understood by the Maharsha. And what does the medrash say? Medrash says the following, that when B'nai Yisrael saw this food, and they didn't realize exactly how to prepare it, so there were three reactions. You have the tzaddikim, the beinonim, and the rishayim. And each one reacted in a different way. The tzaddikim looked at it, and they said, okay, this is the food that Hashem, Moshe said Hashem was going to provide. Hu halachem li'achla. This is the, as Moshe said, and the tzaddikim picked up the man, and they ate it. That's the bread. Tzaddikim lechem. They did nothing to it. All they simply did was pick up the food and eat it. The Beinonim, on the other hand, ugos, which means that they prepared some type of baked dish out of this, but without the necessity of grinding and milling it into some type of flour. That's what the Beinonim did. And the Rishayim, what did the Rishayim do? Well, they took the man, they ground it, they milled it, they poured it, they mixed it, they threw it in the oven, as it were, and they cooked it. That's what the Rishayim did. This is very strange. What is the Medrash telling us here? The Tzaddikim ate it, the Beinonim did a little bit of work to it, and the Rishayim entirely tried to cook it. And I think that the meaning of this is simply the following. B'nai Yisrael walk out of Mitzrayim. And you know, it is part of the human condition, as B'nai Yisrael no doubt experienced, that when people encounter new experiences, new people, old people, relationships, they tend to try to take these experiences or individuals and fit them into pre-existing boxes. Right? I take you, I meet you, and I say, okay, what box can I put you in? This is part of the human condition. I have a certain view of the world based on my life experience, and we try to make sense of the world. Right? It's understandable. But the downside of that is that sometimes, or maybe more often than we should, we, instead of encountering a person, an experience, an encounter, a relationship on its own terms, on its own merits, we try to take it and fit it into a pre-existing box that I have in my head. So B'nai Yisrael come out of Mitzrayim, and they are weighed down by the experience of years and years of galus, years and years of oppression, years and years of slavery. And so Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to provide you food. They wake up the next morning, and they see this food on the ground. And the tzaddikim look at it, and they say, ah, this is the food that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared for us. Now, I know in Mitzrayim, when we needed bread, we had to go through 10 different steps. But this is different. This is Matan Hashem. This is Matnas Hashem. So I'm going to treat it differently. And if Moshe Rabbeinu says, this is the food, then I pick it up and I eat it, because that's the food. And indeed, that's what the tzaddikim did. They ate the food as though it was fine, finished bread. And for them, it indeed was. The Beinonim, they looked at it and they said, ah, there's something not right over here. I know how to make food. I know for food, you have to take it, you have to prepare it, you have to do something, you put it on a fire, in a pot, in an oven, you got to do something. And so they took the man, and they tried to prepare it into some type of prepared food. The Rishayim, so distant, so far from the Ribbono Shel Olam, sitting in their perspective of Egypt, of paganism, and the perspective of paganism is being stuck. That's what an Elil in Avodah Zarah is. It is an immovable object. People are worshiping immovable objects. They are worshiping the experience of being stuck in one place and unable to move, to grow, to develop, to change.
So the Rishayim, they see this food and they say, ah, we know exactly what to do with this. I don't know, Moshe said it's food, it's not food. No, I know what to do with this. In Egypt, when we needed food and we needed bread, we took it and we ground it and we milled it and we mixed it and we poured it and we threw it in on a stove and we made something out of it. And indeed, that's what the Rishayim did. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them bread in the form of man, but Hashem gave them bread. And the Rishayim, so distant and so stuck in their pre-existing conditions and their pre-existing boxes, said, I know what to do with this. And they took it and they put all that effort, which was unnecessary, just to come to the same conclusion of edible food. So what we see when Klal Yisrael is leaving Egypt is the experience, the human experience, of people being in a moment where instead of encountering the moment on its own terms and trying to see it for itself, instead taking it and trying to put it into a pre-existing box in their head. And this happens all the time in relationships. I have a neighbor, I have a friend, a coworker, a spouse, a family member, a child, student. This person can never change. Never change. Because we take people and we put them in boxes. The student can never be any better than he is. My spouse can never be any different than they are. Maybe I can change. Maybe. Or maybe I don't, or better said, I don't need to change. So I have my pre-existing conceptions of myself as well. And sometimes we're stuck in that too. My avoda can't be any different than it is. My Talmud Torah can't be any different than it is. My relationship with Hashem can't be any different than it is. My Shmiras HaMitzvot can't be any different than it is. I am stuck where I am, and that is the only place I can be. That's the mindset of Egypt. That's the mindset of paganism. Klal Yisrael came out, and the vast majority looked at one another when they saw this food, and they said, manhu, this is man, but this is food, but I don't know how to prepare it. The tzaddikim said, I don't have to worry about how to prepare it. If Hashem said it's food, the minds of the tzaddikim were open and supple and flexible to change. But for the vast majority of folks, they looked at it and they said, we don't know how to deal with this. So the best thing we can do is just take the man and fit it in to some pre-existing box in my head. And how counterproductive is that? They had everything they needed right in front of them. And instead, they're like running like a mouse in the treadmill, spinning their wheels for no reason whatsoever. In fact, counterproductive. Very counterproductive. Rashi says, Hachanas mazonhu. When they said manhu, they wanted to know, how do you prepare this thing? So why does this statement or question, why is it recorded in the Torah in the original ancient Egyptian, if that's what it was, instead of transforming it into Lashon HaKodesh? Because that's exactly representative and demonstrative of the mindset of Klal Yisrael at this time. Trying to figure out how to take this extraordinary new blessed experience of the Ribbono Shel Olam and stuff it into some limiting pre-existing box that they had in their mind. When Klal Yisrael is given the man, it's not simply a blessing from Hashem. It is an opportunity, as a barometer, I should say, as to where Klal Yisrael was. Because to go from Mitzrayim to Matan Torah, you have to go from a position of being fixed and stuck and stable and immovable to a place of flexibility, where a person's mind is open to the possibility of change in the infinite opportunities that the divine light has for us. A person cannot be an Eved Hashem if they are not open to change, if they are not open to new possibilities. But if we're always going to stick ourselves and other people into pre-existing boxes, then we will be forever stuck. And it seems to me this is why on Pesach night we say Ma Nishtana Halayla Hazeh four times. We say Pesach Al Shum Ma, right? Because then we find the Ma throughout the Haggadah. Because on Pesach night we say we're throwing out the Man and we're going to Ma. We're throwing out the man who, the question preserved in the static language of the pagans of Egypt, and we are going to ma, Lashon HaKodesh. And that journey from man to ma is the journey from avdus to cheros, of being stuck to truly being free to be open, to explore, to learn, to grow, to develop, to do tshuva, which is ultimately rooted in the ability of seeing things differently. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the strength, the wisdom, and the courage to understand that sometimes we might feel like we're mun, but we certainly have the capability to be ma, to be extraordinary. Agudvach, Shavua Tov to all.